Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone's having an absolutely fantastic, blessed day today. Busy as always down here in Florida. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm absolutely blessed. It's a cloudy day here in Florida, but that's all right, for this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, and I will always be glad in it because, hey, we're here. And God's not done with us yet. And, you know, let me share something with you very quickly. And this is so important. You know, we've got a bunch of different people that have come out of nowhere that have been talking about the coronavirus and talking about immunizations and talking about autism. And there's one doctor in particular who does a very, very good job. I'm not going to mention any names. But when you dig a little bit deeper into his background, he's really into New Age stuff, really into New Age stuff. And he's got millions and millions of views this past week. And it seems odd to me that they haven't basically blackballed him or blacklisted him or kept him from being, you know, allowed to generate that type of views on YouTube and other types of platforms where he's on. Now, I'm not saying that what he's saying is not true, because 90% of what he's on is on point. I mean, it's really good. The problem is that you have to ask yourself a question. Why is he being allowed to be pushing his narrative suddenly? He's a big anti-vaccine guy. Been talking about vaccines and autism for a real long time. But then I get an email from one of our listeners, Karen, this morning, and he's basically talking about all kinds of New Age stuff and weird stuff. And I mean, weirdo stuff. And I'm like, what the heck? And I'm like, this isn't okay. And, you know, I guess it's funny to me, and I think this is always ironic, because my default is Jesus. What does he say? What do you mean by that, Ted? No matter what happens, I always reset back to Christ. No matter what question I'm asked, I'm always resetting back to Christ, because that's my fundamental principle. That's how I'm put together. I mean, years ago when I had that group of crazy people out there in that one show out in Houston that basically brought a stripper into the doggone show to strip, and I told them no, and I told them that I was a Christian and that I didn't want to see that kind of stuff. Giving you a very short little paraphrase of what happened with that morning, that day. But that's my default, is always Christ. And guys, you know, when you start really digging into people, you got to find out what their motive is. My heart beats for Jesus, for the great I am. And you guys know that. And I talk about it all the time. In fact, I take and talk about it so much that some people say, your show's too religious. My response is, find another show, because this is my default setting. So be very careful, guys, when you start listening to people, because there's a reason if suddenly, I mean, remember, the Ted and Austin Brower Show was taken off of YouTube 2.5 years ago. I mean, we were one of the very first to be basically banned, blackballed, shoved out, pushed out, and censored way before the mass censorship started. We got pushed off. Why is that? It's because of Jesus. It's because we're telling you guys the truth, and we're tying everything back together through God, the great I am, through Christ, through interdimensional physics, through the blood of the Lamb, telling you how Jesus and the blood of the Lamb works, why communion is so important. And then we also talk in detail about the Kabbalah and the Luciferians and Ein Sof and these weirdo things these people believe in. So when we start talking about stuff like this, I guess these guys kind of messed up. Years ago, I was doing a show, you know, coast to coast. I'd been on it several times. And the second time they brought me on, it was right at Easter. And we were talking about all these different things. I mean, the guy had witches on before me. I mean, it's the craziest show you've ever been on. And I said to the host of the show, in fact, I said to George Norrie himself, I said, I'd really like to talk about the blood of Jesus, what it means for Christians during Easter. Oh, absolutely not. No, no, we'll talk about something else. Finally, his producer comes on and she tells me he does not want to talk about that. Now, think about that. So ask yourself a question. What's the default setting? Is the default setting of the person that you're listening to that they're drunk on the air, they're smoking on the air, they're cussing on the air, they're taking God's name in vain on the air? Is that the default setting? Are they running around with whores? What's the default setting? Where do they go to when they get under pressure? Where do they go? Do they basically go right back to the cross, to the blood of the risen Savior, to Jesus himself? And then you get the people who want to say, oh, it's the Jesus spirit, the Christ spirit. I was doing another show a few years ago, big show, And she told me, she said, well, are you telling me the only way you can get right with God is through Jesus? And I said, absolutely, yes. That is the only way. I said, who else reset the timeline? Who else changed the entire calendar? Who else took down the entire Roman hedonistic, you know, world? It was Christ. What, anybody else? You know, you have people say, well, you can go this way and you can go that way and you've got this group and that group and this group and you can go by this. No, there's no, it says there's only one path to Christ. I said this right on the show. Of course, I was never asked to be back on the show again. Now, why would that happen? Because I'd have so many people who would be on the show, people listening to the show, that would complain and say, oh, you can't put him on. He's a Jesus freak. He's a Jesus nut. And I say, okay, yes, that'd be me. I'm raising my hand. I remember one time I was in class at Florida State and I'd been a heathen. And, you know, I mean, I was a pretty macho guy. I had one Mr. Tallahassee. I was, you know, pretty macho. And I always walked around in a, you know, black leather motorcycle jacket, kind of like the Fonz, I guess. Kind of weird like that, but I had a black leather Harley jacket and I had a motorcycle helmet with me all the time and had a lot of girlfriends. And I remember this one girl who was in graduate school, who was in the psychology program with us, and one day she walks up to me and she goes, say it ain't true. I said, say what ain't true? She goes, I hear you're a Jesus freak. That's what she said. I said, that would be true. That'd be me now. And she goes, I have what the heck, man, really? I said, yeah. I said, I've accepted Christ. And then I proceeded to tell her about why I did and why she should know Jesus. But here, that's the point we've got to understand, guys, is where do you fall? What's your default? Where's your reset? I mean, where do you come from? You know, a lot of people, they go right back to the Communist Party. That's their reset button. Here's a really good article from the Washington Times. Gene sent this morning. Coronavirus, the smell of Saul Alinsky. Communist-minded community organizer Sal Alinsky is in his prologue to Rules for Radicals, which, by the way, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama were just big fans of this guy, explained that the most effective activists were those who worked within the established system, not against it, so as to stir the revolutionary pots of change through fear. In his words, any revolutionary change must be preceded by a passive, affirmative, non-challenging attitude towards the change among the mass of our people. They must feel so frustrated, so defeated, so lost, so futureless in this prevailing system they are willing to let go of the past and chance the future. This is what Saul Alinsky said. Any revolutionary change must be preceded by a passive, affirmative, non-challenging attitude towards change among the mass of our people. They must feel so frustrated, so defeated, so lost, so futureless in the prevailing system they are willing to let go of the past and change the future. This is why I tell you guys, fight this. Send this to your friends and say, no, not me, not now, not ever. We're not going there. No, I'm not taking your stinking vaccine, Bill Gates. No, I'm not going to allow you to force me to take a vaccine. The heck with you. Not going to happen. And what will happen is when you do that on social media, when you send that out in emails, when you send that out in text, when you send that out on Instagram, when you send that out on Facebook, you know, they're going to go, wow, these people aren't ready yet for this. They're not going to put up with this. They're going to fight us. They're going to bear arms against us if we try to do this, Bill Gates. Remember that. We're not going to allow you to come here and forcefully do this. I had two attorneys contact me yesterday, and one of them, they're good friends. I've known them for a long time, and one of them was a judge for many years. Both retired now, and they said, we're not going to allow them to vaccinate us. These people are awake. And they said, what are you going to do to prevent this? And I said, any lawful means. That was my response. I got that from Austin. Any lawful means. You know, why do you want to have a gun? Any lawful means. Why do you want ammo? Any lawful means. Why do you want to carry a weapon? Any lawful means. There you go. That's the answer. And so finally we started talking about it. We started talking about guns. And she said, oh, we already have guns. I said, good. I'm impressed. Because most people who are in the court system, they don't want to have weapons. They don't want to have guns. Not all of them, but most. But let's go back to Saul Alinsky for 1 second. Let's go back to the Wikipedia page. Let's just kind of lay out who this guy was. Now, remember, Barack Obama was a community organist and activist. So Saul Alinsky, born 1909, was an American community activist. Here we go. And political theorist. His work through the Chicago-based industrial areas, funding helping poor communities organize to press demands upon landlords, politicians, and business leaders, won him national recognition and notoriety. Responding to the impatience of the new left generation of activists in the 60s, these are the people that were brought out by the CIA, the hippies with LSD, etc. In his widely cited Rules for Radicals, Alinsky defended the arts both of confrontation and of compromise, involved the community organizing, Barack Obama, as keys to the struggle for social justice. Now, let's find out who Saul Alinsky was, just for fun. He was born in 1909 in Chicago to Russian Jewish immigrant parents, the only surviving son of Benjamin Alinsky's marriage to his second wife, Sarah Alinsky. I'm reading right from Wikipedia. His father started out as a tailor, then ran a delicatessen and a cleaning shop, and Alinsky recalls that he finally graduated operating his own sweatshop because he had a business that was a sweatshop. I mean, really? He loathed his own father this much? But whatever the business he had, the family always lived at the back of the store. Now, here's the thing. This was very common back in the 1800s and 1900s. People live above the store, behind the store, because they're entrepreneurs that did whatever was necessary in order to make a profit. Both his parents were strict Orthodox Jews, their lives revolving around work in synagogue. He himself was devout until the age of 12, at the point he began to fear his parents would force him to become a rabbi. Although he had not personally encountered much anti-Semitism as a child, I'm going to repeat that, he had not personally encountered much anti-Semitism as a child because he wasn't a victim of that, right? Alinsky recalled that it was so pervasive. Wait a minute. If you didn't encounter any as a child, why are you saying it was so pervasive? And he says, you just accepted it as a fact of life. Called up for retaliating against some Polish boys, Alinsky acknowledged one rabbinical lesson that sank home. It's the American way, Old Testament. Well, they don't use the Old Testament. They use the Babylonian Talmud. They beat us up, so we beat the hell out of them. I'm reading Wikipedia. That's what everybody does. The rabbi looked at him for a moment and said quietly, you think you're a man because you do what everybody does, but I want to tell you something great. Where there are no men, be thou a man. Alinsky considered himself an agnostic. But when asked about his religion, he would always say, Jewish. And I'm not going to read you any more about this guy because I really dislike this guy. But here's the point. He claimed to be fighting against anti-Semitism, I guess, but said he never encountered any anti-Semitism. So he became this radical that the left, again, the Rothschild banking cartel, the boys who run the press, 95% of what is owned by the Rothschild banking cartel, pushed him to the point of being nationally famous, internationally famous at this point, because of his rules for radicals and how to basically overcome and throw over a system. This was all part of Cloward and Piven. It all came about at the same time. All came out with the Frankfurt School. All of this stuff was pushed at the same time when the Frankfurt School pushed into the United States into the 30s and left Germany and wanted to destroy the Republic. All of this is part of that. It's the same group. It's the Rothschild banking cartel who's paying for all of this. It's the Kabbalists. Just be frank with you guys. Can't be any more direct than that. This is who the group is that's pushing this acceptance of all of these weird things and the destruction until everybody is so hopeless that they're willing to accept anything as a change. Well, here's something. I got something to say to all of you clowns who believe this stuff about hopelessness and helplessness and communism. We ain't going down that hallway. We're not doing that. We're not ready for you guys to do that to us. Now, in 100 years, we might be ready for it. If by the time they've dumbed everybody down with fluoride and they've got all of everybody's testosterone down to zero, you might be able to push this off in the United States. But right now, the heck with you weirdos. Ain't happening now, ain't ever going to happen. This is why when Trump pushed the nationalism button 4 years ago, everybody said, oh yeah, we're going to vote for this guy. Now, we didn't know he was going to be basically putting every Rothschild, Kabbalist flunky he could find into the positions of power in the White House. We didn't realize that he'd been compromised. None of us did that. We all thought he was actually going to be there for change. But no, that's not what Trump did. But the reality is this, guys. We don't have to go down this pathway. We don't have to do this. We can resist it with every fiber in our being. And that's what the show's all about. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's how I feel. Austin, what do you think?
Well said, bud. That's exactly right. And this is what everybody needs to keep understanding is that this is what we've been saying for the last couple of weeks now. There's no doubt about it that this virus is something that's, you know, it's definitely like, you know, a bad flu. People get sick from it and people die from it. And we've gone over and over and over again about the numbers and the manipulation that they've been doing with the different numbers. And at the same time, we're seeing just totalitarian law after law after law, which are all unconstitutional, be tried to force through. Now, I brought this up 2 months ago when they first introduced this to the House, and now it basically has 18 co-sponsors in Congress. Now, I don't think it's going to get anywhere, and I really don't think Trump would ever sign something this egregious, but it shows you their mindset of what they're trying to do. If you guys have seen this, it's the H.R. 5717. It basically was introduced right at the beginning of February, right when this coronavirus debacle debacle started to occur essentially all over the world. And it's called the Gun Violence Prevention and Community Safe Act of 2020. And again, like I said, it's got 18 co-sponsors now, and it's been getting a lot of traction. But again, this will never be ratified. The Senate would never push this through. But what it does is, it's insane. It is full-blown lockdown of firearms. The first thing they have in the bill is it would require individuals to obtain a license, federal license, just to purchase or possess a firearm. It would raise the minimum age from 18 to 21 nationally. Remember, this is a federal law, it's not a state law. It'll do a full-blown mandatory background check across the country federally, and it does a federal red flag gun law, along with multiple restrictions on semi-automatic rifles and standard capacity magazines. Now, again, like I said, this bill's not going to go anywhere. But what it shows you is the level of aggression that these guys are playing with right now and how far they want to take it. This bill's not going to go through, but that doesn't mean these clowns that are pushing this aren't going to keep trying to push it through. To clarify that, this is where they want to take it. And the more that people submit right now, the more that people comply right now, the more they are going to think that they can get away with this type of totalitarian rule. Crazy now down here in Florida, it's not crazy, it's been fantastic, it's idiotic in the first place, that they shut down a bunch of the beaches. You know, I told you that before. I said, people, they're social distancing, they're the ones causing the problem. You're in 95-degree heat in the salt with a 20-mile-an-hour or more sea breeze, and you're telling me that that's the big danger where you're going to catch coronavirus. It's garbage. And now they're saying, well, the reason why Miami's having such a problem with the virus is because they didn't shut down the beaches early enough. That's hogwash. If you actually believe that, then you're not one of our regular listeners. And I urge you to keep listening to the show and figure out for yourself what's really going on. But now it's interesting. Now, Mike Huckabee, former Arkansas governor, has now filed a federal lawsuit challenging a county government ordinance which has temporarily shut down the beaches again where his Florida home is located. Huckabee filed with his beachfront property neighbors against Walton County and its sheriff, saying the ordinance is unlawfully preventing them from being able to use or even set foot in their own backyards. This is interesting because a lot of beaches have now opened back up. Jacksonville's opened back up, numerous ones. But basically in Walton County, the sheriff now has basically said that law enforcement have been and are currently patrolling and occupying private beachfront properties without permission while threatening to arrest or fine anybody that goes on the property. I kid you not right now. So Mike Huckabee filed this on Monday in the U.S. District Court, the Northern District of Florida, saying the local government is denying basic constitutional rights and is taking the context of social distancing illegally too far to the point that police are infringing on private property. Now, again, you have to look at the so idiotic with this. Going out on a beach by yourself on your own private beachfront property, not only is there zero chance of spreading any type of virus, much less coronavirus, any virus that ad, it's completely and totally violating your constitutional rights of private property ownership and easements. Remember, when you buy property like that, you buy a beachfront home, something you buy lakefront property, technically you own part of that beachfront property. Now, there are easements as far as with people passing a boat over or walking across it. You can't really go in and trespass warn somebody or arrest somebody for driving a boat across your beachfront because of the aspect of the use. The same thing goes with the beachfront. The law enforcement technically does not have lawful authority to tell you you can't walk across your beachfront. That is basically in the same context of putting you under house arrest, which you have to have some type of court order or lawful order to state you are not allowed to leave your home, you are not allowed to leave X amount of feet out of your house, you are being strapped with an ankle bracelet, and if you go past this certain threshold, law enforcement's notified and you are either warned or arrested for violating your house arrest order. That is what they're actually trying to enforce right now, which is completely illegal. And I'm so glad that Mike Huckabee is making a point of this and filing a lawsuit with the Sheriff's Department, because, guys, if people continually sit back and allow this to occur and allow this to go further and allow sheriffs to roll up and down the beach like roving patrols and monitor them so nobody can walk out on the beach, there is no context in stopping a virus with their ad. There is no possible solution or probability you're going to prevent anything. It's the same thing like that Governor Whitman girl up there in Michigan, the far, far leftist liberal feminist up there. Now has banned seeds and gardening tools as being non-essential items. You're already at a store. You're already buying product. You're already going out of the store. You're already doing a transaction, so forth. There is no legitimate purpose to ban seeds and gardening tools, except for the sole purpose of preventing people from growing their own food and becoming self-sufficient, and at the same time, trying to reduce retail sales as bad as physically possible, to crash the economy as hard as they physically can. So you see these things starting to occur now, and it's so crucial. Like Dad said, we get loud with it. Start blasting this stuff on social media. We're going to be putting these articles up on the website today. We forward the show to everybody, you know, as far as on our email list every day. Get this information out there. Get vocal about it. Talk about it when you go out in public. It was interesting. We wanted to check because we were curious how the entire food system is starting to do now. And I've heard numerous reports from people saying that, you know, meat prices are going up, food's coming down as far as getting less and less and less available. We saw that Hormel Foods, a plant in Illinois, has now been forced to close down temporarily. We're now getting reports of supply and demand getting shorted, prices going up. And, you know, I talked to my buddy who works for Publix, big manager of their warehouse, and he said they're basically restricting how much the stores can order because they have to keep up with all the stores. Now, it's ironic if you go to Publix right now, which is like more of a high-end supermarket, very clean, very classy, but it's local. It's not a global or even a national company. It's more of a southeastern United States, mainly in Florida. And you go to Publix right now, and there's shelves that are just completely empty. And I mean, just like canned areas, completely empty. They're limiting, I think, to one or two dozen eggs now. It's all you can buy at one time. They can't give up supply. Well, the other night, Dad and I had to go to Walmart. Don't even get me started on that. We had to go as I needed an extra lock set to make sure my whole house build that I'm doing right now was locked up, so we needed one more lock set. Every place was closed at 7:30 at night besides Walmart. Imagine that. And we went to Walmart. As much as I absolutely dread going to Walmart, Dad and I went to Walmart at 8 o'clock at night. Weird. Absolutely weird. First off, they make you go through like this shuttered, you know, whole trail like I told you before in one door, like you're going in like a theme park style. And they shut down at 8:30. So by 8 o'clock on the loudspeakers, every like 5 minutes, they start saying, Walmart will be closing in 25 minutes. Please head to the nearest available teller and they'll check you out. And it was so odd. And then, of course, they talk about, you know, wash your hands, social distance, like just repetitive, putting it in your brain subconsciously. So we got the lock set, and we go to check out. And now we try to go out the exit side, and it's already locked up. And it's not even 8:30 yet. They're forcing everybody out one single door. Now tell me how that makes any sense at all. Now you've taken the entire Walmart store that's trying to exit and leave quickly before 8 o'clock, 8:30, because they're telling everybody, you've got to get out right now. Now there's not two exits, there's only one exit. So everybody has to breathe each other's vapor trail going out the same door like cattle, like good little cattle. And it's interesting to see how they are conditioning the American populace to get more and more and more subdued and more compliant and more submissive. And so, again, I just encourage everybody, try to wake people up. Voice your opinion. Make it heard. And that's how I feel about that, Dad.
Well, you know, also that whole trip to Walmart was weird. I mean, the whole parking lot was filled with rubber latex gloves laying all over the parking lot.
Yeah.
I mean, literally hundreds of pairs. It was like, you know, it hadn't been cleaned in months. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, carts everywhere, trying not to hit a cart in the parking lot. I mean, they've really cut back on staffing, I'm sure, because of their cash flows through the floor, because they're restricting how many people are allowed in the store. And, quite frankly, the way they're treating people. I mean, people have had enough of it. And so it's sad to watch this, because I mean, I'm not a big Walmart shopper. I've never cared for Walmart. There's too many weirdos there. And it gives you a cross-section of Americana that you really never knew existed and probably didn't want to know. I remember as a child, I mean, I learned very quickly, you know, being raised in that German beer tavern, that bar that we owned, that there were people that came in there that were really, really nice. And then there were people that came in there, they would just soon cut you or to stick you or whatever as to look at you. And that's where I learned about happy drunks and mean drunks. And you think, well, what the heck are you talking about this on this show? You guys know what I'm talking about. If you were raised that way, if you were raised in a very secular environment, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And, you know, then there are people out there that basically want to punish you for doing things that they don't want you to do. Now, that would be the governor of Michigan at this point and the whack bag that she is. But here's what's funny about all of this. You know, the other day when she was telling everybody all these crazy rules they had to follow and everybody was getting upset with her and they're protesting in the Capitol, she said basically now there'll be longer lockdowns and you guys will be punished more because these people came out and did what you did, what they weren't supposed to do. Now, my response to that is, what are we, 10 years old now? Are we back on the basketball team or the volleyball team and we've got one person who doesn't want to pay any attention to what the coach says and every time that one person does something wrong, everybody on the team's got to run laps? Is that where we are? So we're going to be punished like a bunch of children because we're not following her strict quarantine measures? What a nut this woman turned into. I mean, think about that for a second. I've got a friend of mine the other day. He said, well, I remember when I was in junior high school, I was on the basketball team, and there was just one guy, and every time this guy messed up, we'd all have to run laps. And finally, and he did it on purpose. The guy was messing up on purpose. So finally, my friend told him, I said, I took him to the side one day and made him understand that he wasn't going to do this anymore. The way he could understand it, and then he straightened up. Now, I'm sure that means he probably got slapped around a little, which I don't agree with, but that's what happened. Because that's what happens when you get kids involved with other kids as far as using them to patrol. You know, we go right back to this crazy island where, you know, these kids are basically being unbelievably mean to everybody else, Lord of the Flies. See, this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to create so much unrest and so much garbage in our lives that we're going to allow children, 12-year-old mentality. I mean, 12-year-old mentality, I mean, you think about that for a second. The coach should have just said, you're off the team. That would have been easier, wouldn't it? Instead of trying to punish the entire team for what this one guy was doing. But, you know, I guess nowadays that vernacular would be, okay, because you want to go ahead and protest at our Capitol because of what I'm doing, I'm just going to put you in jail. Isn't that kind of like taking them off the team? So this opens up a whole can of worms I want you guys to think through. How far does it go? How far does it get? I mean, we know that gun bill that Austin says won't go through. It includes everything that the most radical anti-gunners want. Short of an outright ban and repeal of the Second Amendment, it includes new age limits, red flag confiscations, which Donald Trump's all about. And he pushed it in the state of Florida, pushed it nationally last year. This is our big gun president. Increased taxes on guns and ammunition, an arbitrary ban on nearly all semi-automatic rifles, and the requirement of a federal firearms license. I mean, this is crazy. Like, this is the crazy stuff that we're going to have pushed through, and it's going to go through because people are going to go say, oh, look at all the money they're going to give us. They're going to give us another $1,200. We're getting another $1,200 if we let them take our guns. And there are people out there that will sell their inheritance for a pot of porridge or a bowl of porridge, which would be, you know, metaphorically the $1,200. You think, well, no, they wouldn't. Oh, yeah, they would. Oh, yeah, they would. And then, oh, down the road, they would only say, why did I do that? If they had the cognitive skills to even realize that they themselves were the ones who were involved and they weren't blaming it on somebody else. This is the problem that we run into with this rules for radical stuff that we have. Look at social distancing now. How do we know that social distancing regulations aren't being put into place permanently now, which they say they are, in order to allow them to track us easier with our cell phones? Have you guys thought about that? How do you know that the 6-foot distancing, now they're saying 10 or 12-foot distancing, isn't going to be allowed, going to be used for a 5G tower, which has a antenna system which can be focused on you? You know, directional antenna system that can be focused on you to give a little boost to your heartbeat. Yeah. How do you know that? How do you know they can't use it as a weapon? How do you know they can't locate you? But the problem is when you guys are all congregated together in church and all the cell phones have overlapping frequencies, they can't pinpoint you when you're in a crowd. How about that? How about when you go to a party next time, everybody unplugs the microwave and everybody throws their cell phones into the microwave? How about we do that? How about we wrap them in aluminum foil? You say, oh, why are we a tin hat group now? No. Aluminum foil stopped transmitting the doggone cell phones. Why are they so about social distancing when they tell us now we have to be 14 feet apart and the viruses are going to jump on a pole vault and swing across the room and hit somebody else 14 feet away? That's nonsense. Don't do that. Guys, this is the craziest stuff that I've ever seen. And people are complying with it. I mean, when we were at Walmart the other night, we had all kinds of people running around with masks on. You know, masks are kind of like the new social distancing club. You got the Republicans, and pretty much they don't want to wear masks. They don't. Democrats are all running around with masks on. I'm not saying all of them, many of them. And why? Because Donald Trump said he's not going to wear a mask. So they're going to wear a mask to prove that Donald Trump's the guy. So we're walking out of Walmart. Austin and I, you guys would have gotten it. They should have videotaped us in Walmart. I'm sure they would have thrown us out forever. So we're walking out. Some guy has a Florida State t-shirt on, you know, like a sweatshirt. And I was wondering kind of why, because it was kind of hot that day, but I thought, whatever. And he's walking out with a girl, so apparently he was not a weirdo. And I said to him, I said, well, I see you're wearing a Florida State shirt on. I said, I guess you got to be a pretty smart guy. I said, here's the deal. I said, I hear the stormtroopers walking down the cobblestone streets of Berlin. And he looked at me, didn't say anything. Now, he had a mask on. Looked at me, didn't say anything. And I looked at him, I said, did you go to Florida State? No, I didn't go there. I said, okay. I said, well, do you even understand what I'm saying about the cobblestone streets of Berlin? Because most people don't get that metaphor. It's really not a metaphor, it's an example. And he goes, oh, I get it. And I told myself, no, you don't. You're wearing a mask. Okay, you're wearing the mask. Guys, this is where it goes. This whole thing where they program you to do what they want you to do. But, you know, why in the world, you know, is Mike Huckabee having to file a lawsuit over illegally closed beaches here in Florida? I mean, why are we under house arrest? Why can't we walk out to the lakefront in many areas? And why can't we basically walk out on the beach? I mean, this, again, is all part of that programming. Why are seeds being banned? I mean, why are we being treated like we're children? I mean, think about that for a second. No seeds for you. You mean the seed Nazi. No soup for you. No seeds for you. What the heck? I want to grow some plants. No seeds for you. Well, what the heck? What do we have to do to get seeds? You have to be a good little slave. I'll give you seeds, okay? What the heck? Where is this going? Resist. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Get on your Instagram account and talk about Jesus. Talk about for you, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will not comply with these crazy social regulations that aren't even constitutional. We will not do it. We will not allow Bill Gates to inject a who knows what into us. I had another lady contact me this morning, and she says, is there a correlation between getting the flu shot and coming down with coronavirus? My response was, well, yeah, pretty much every time you get tested for coronavirus, if you've had the flu shot, you test positive for coronavirus. Oh, didn't know that. And oh, by the way, 3 flu shots in a row increase the risk of senile dementia by up to 50% because of the mercury content in the multivirus flu shots. And plus, they always tell us that they're only about 3 to 4% effective because the flu mutates, which is the same thing coronavirus is doing. And so the virus doesn't work anyhow. It's ineffective. Bill Gates knows that. What, do you give those poor kids over there in India 40 vaccines over a period of a few years until he had polio so rampant in India they ran him out? Ran him out. Said, get out. We don't want you here. You're nuts. We don't care how much money you give us. Anytime the World Health Organization endorses stuff, I stay away from it. Years ago, I had a pastor bring me some vitamin packets. And I've told you the story before that we were going to basically give to the kids in Africa. And they wanted to do some kind of multi-level marketing stuff. And I never try to get involved with stuff like that. Not that they're all bad, but I just don't want to be involved in them. And what ended up happening is he basically told me, he said, well, you know, I want you to start promoting these vitamins for these kids in Africa. And I said, well, let's get them tested. World Health Organization had approved it. So Austin and I had it assayed. It had primarily sand. It was primarily silica. And some of the nutrients that it said that were picograms, whatever that means. And I'm a chemist. So I had to look that one up. You know, picograms, they didn't exist. They weren't even in the sample at all, the nutrients. And the nutrient density was so low, this product was completely useless. And I said, I'm not going to promote this junk. It's approved by the World Health Organization. And they gave, let me say this in a nice way. And the primary girl who was pushing it through the World Health Organization, she had an interesting name. She could have been Saul Alinsky's sister. Yeah, how about that? That's the easiest way to say it. I told my buddy, I said, this doesn't make any sense. Why is this person working with the World Health Organization, and why is she pushing this doggone stuff on these kids that's not going to work, giving them false hope that they're getting the nutrient density of the food they need? weird situation. That guy ended up being a complete and total weirdo, and I no longer associate with him anyhow, that particular pastor. But guys, I talk about that all the time. Really, you got to get to know your pastor. You really do. You need to ask him out to lunch one day. You need to ask him some questions. You need to find out what his stance is on certain topics. Well, my pastor's busy. Well, then write him a letter. What do you mean, write him a letter? Well, send him an email. Say, dear Pastor Joe, whatever his name is, I want you to know that I've been in your church now for certain many years, and there's certain topics that aren't really covered in the pulpit. And I'd really like to know what your stance are on these, and if you cover these for me, like the effects of, you know, high fructose corn syrup. That's the easy one. You know, as far as telling the parishioners that they could eat and do whatever they want to do, it's not going to affect their health. That's a good one. And I spoke at a church many years ago now, and I talked about the effects of aspartame causing brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headaches, optic nerve degradation. And one of the parishioners wrote to the pastor of the church who drank diet sodas, why are you drinking diet sodas and why are you promoting this to the people in the church when, you know, Dr. Brewer just came in and just talked about this, increasing all these different diseases? Now, he was basically run out of the church. He's the one who wrote the letter. 3 months later, I was run out of the church. I'm not kidding you. I can't make it up. Okay? When you start asking them specific questions and you start understanding what they really believe, some of these guys, you know, vote for Obama. Some of these guys are pro-abortion. That's why they don't talk about it from the pulpit, because they're pro-abortion. You think, well, they can't be pro-abortion to be a preacher. Oh, yeah, they can. They get twisted up in the head, and they believe all kinds of weird stuff. You know, they believe all these things are itching ears when they hear. It says that in the Bible, in these latter days, that are going to follow deceiving spirits and things sought by demons. You need to know who your pastor is. You need to know what he believes. You need to know if he believes in, like, gay marriage. Or if homosexuality is okay and it's not a sin, you need to repent from and become a Christian and not live that lifestyle. You need to know what he believes. If he's not talking about it from the pulpit, you need to know what he believes. Very, very important that you understand the leadership that you're under. Austin, what do you think, bud?
No, that's really well said, and that's one of the issues why a lot of people, including myself, I've had the same problems, trying to find really good churches. Because for some odd reason, a lot of these guys just won't speak the truth, whether they're compromised, or whether they don't want to get blowback, or whether they want to keep their attendance and their donations and their tithing high. You know, it's a combination of everything, I guess. But it's very frustrating to see that, and that's why, again, I'll reiterate what Dad said. Make sure you understand and know who you're getting advice from and who you're getting teaching from. And double check it. Double check it. It just because somebody says something doesn't mean it's true. I tell people that all the time. I say, dude, you can double check. I mean, occasionally Dad and I will misquote something or do something. That's why a lot of times I'll say, this is my opinion, or this is the research that I've done and this is what I've found. Because not everybody's always right all the time. I mean, we do a lot of research. We read a lot of articles. I mean, Dad does even more than I do. I mean, it's just, we know a lot of this stuff, but not everybody's right all the time. But for some odd reason, we've given over this autonomy and this credibility to individuals who have no idea as far as of what's really going on, or better yet, they know exactly what's going on, and they're doing the exact opposite of what needs to be done. Like, we have individuals like Fauci. Now, I've seen something that's unbelievably troubling to me now, is that you've seen the CDC guidelines for opening up America again. I'm sure a lot of people have seen that, the 18-page thing, 18-page manual, based on the guidelines of opening America again. Every time I read it, it just makes my blood pressure go up. But here's something that's very interesting now, that's very quite troubling. And Dave Hodges pointed this out as well, is the CDC has the following guidelines that are listed as preconditions to entering phase one of the three phases. Basically, remember I told you guys yesterday, they're giving us phases now. Like, if you're a good little donkey, you get an extra carrot. If you're a bad donkey, you get a spanking. Good donkey, you get a carrot. Oh, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, you go back in your pen again. That's how they're treating us with this. Now, here's something I quote from this. One of the preconditions is to show a downward trajectory, I'm quoting, downward trajectory of influenza-type illnesses reported within a 14-day period, and downward trajectory of COVID-like symptomatic cases reported within a 14-day period. A along with that, monitor conditions and immediately take steps to limit and mitigate any rebounds or outbreaks by restarting to the earlier phase. Now, I'm going to reread that first part of that again so it clicks, because I had to read this twice. The downward trajectory of influenza-type illnesses reported within 14 days. Do you understand what they're saying? The COVID-19 team that has been assembled is now saying that they are throwing the flu on top of coronavirus. They're not saying COVID-19 death cases. They're saying, and I quote, the downward trajectory of influenza-type illnesses reported within 14 days and the downward trajectory of COVID-like cases. COVID-like. They're not saying COVID-19, guys. They're saying COVID-like and influenza-type illnesses. Meaning, we're not going to get out of this state of emergency. I'm letting you guys know that right now. If they follow these guidelines that they have now outlined and Trump has green-lighted to opening up America again, we're never going to get out of this. They're blatantly saying in these guidelines, influenza-type illnesses and COVID-like symptomatic cases. Anything that shows a case or a symptom of the flu or even remotely like COVID-19 is going to get listed as an influenza-type illness or COVID-like symptomatic case. We're never going to get past these phases. They're going to stick us on a merry-go-round, and we're going to go to the first one and the second one and back to the first one and back to the second one and maybe to the third one, then back to the first one, until they can continually keep us in this perpetual state of fear and loathing as long as they can until we've had enough. So again, I repeat myself, make sure you are spreading the truth. And when you see situations like this, it's the prime example of why our founding fathers put the Constitution and the Bill of Rights together. I don't ever remember reading anything about a virus or pandemic or illness or anything of those likes in the Bill of Rights or in the Constitution. There's not an asterisk in there that says, oh, by the way, asterisk at the bottom. If there's ever a flu or ever a sickness or anything that happens that causes an issue with the immune system, this whole Constitution, the Bill of Rights, is null and void. It's done. There's nothing like that. They intentionally left it sealed. They intentionally did not leave any asterisk in there. Obviously, we can interpret the way we need to interpret it from a legal standpoint in certain cases, but this is not that time anymore. Is this a virus? Yes. Does it have negative side effects if you don't have a proper immune system? Yes. Is it important you make sure you're taking a lot of vitamin C and D3 and exercising and eating clean right now? Absolutely. You should be doing that anytime, though normally. Maybe not as high of a vitamin C dosage as we're all doing right now. You don't have to stay on that all the time. But yes, a lot of times that's what you need to be doing. This is a complete and total sham. When I saw this today and I saw what the CDC released, where they're now dropping influenza-type illnesses and COVID-like symptomatic cases, you have to restart to an earlier phase. They are planning on doing this all year long. They're going to let us go up, have some freedom, lock us back down again. Have some freedom, lock us back down again. Until the American populace, if we allow them to do this, gets so conditioned, gets so normalized to this, that this just becomes the new way of life, of being locked down and put under house arrest with law enforcement patrolling your own beachfront, telling you they're going to arrest you if you walk outside on your own beachfront. Going to churches that are doing drive-in pastor services. It's saying they are fining you hundreds of dollars for sitting in your car in a parking lot at church. This will be the new normal if we don't take a stand now, Dad.
This is Pavlovian conditioning. This is the Skinner crap that brought over from Lexic. That's what this is. You know, I mean, you know, Charlotte Iserby went into detail about what they did with the school systems. You can look her up. I'm not going to go into detail what she teaches because she has some pretty good stuff, and some of it I don't agree with, some of it, most of it I do. But you can read and listen to what she says about them bringing over the Leipzig systems of classical and operant conditioning into the school systems. Skinner. you know, who's Skinner? Who's Pavlov? All these guys. You know, Skinner did some stuff that was so perverted with children, it was unbelievable. The guy was a sicko. And stuff that now would be completely illegal unless you're the higher up and you can do whatever you want with the Jeffrey Epstein bunch and just walk away from all that. But what this is when you ring a bell and you give a dog food at the same time, you condition that dog to hear the bell, and he starts salivating, and pretty soon you don't even have to give him food. Just ring the bell and he'll salivate. You have to smell the food, just start salivating because he thinks you're going to feed him. This is Pavlovian conditioning. This is exactly what Oss is talking about, and this is exactly what they're doing to us. They're telling us we're going to – you do it with rewards and you do it with sanctions. You can do it with electrical shock. You can do it with rewards. You can do it with, you know, basically being pushed into a corner and being put in timeout. Okay, whatever you want to do. This is basically how you help a child the first 5 or 6 or 7 years learn what's right and wrong. You know, you basically have them have timeout. They've got to sit in the corner for a minute if they do something wrong. You give them an organic cookie without sugar, right? I have to put that in there. You know, if they're doing right. You do all of this stuff like that, and so pretty soon you help to condition them to know what's right and know what's wrong. It's training, like training an animal. You say, well, I can't believe you said you got to train your child like an animal. I didn't say that. You say it a different way so we don't interpret this. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. All right? You're not, if you start teaching him how to smoke pot when he's 3 years old or 4 years old or 5 years old, if he doesn't burn the house down, all right, he's going to be a doper the rest of his life. Just thought I'd mention that. Okay? So don't twist what I say. Train up a child the way he should go based upon the word of God. And teach him the right way. If he's wrong, say, don't do it this way. If he's right, do it this way. You know, teach them, because you only got about 7 years while they're in this beta brainwave state in which they think everything's a big dream anyhow. After they get out of that, they start questioning everything. And if you haven't trained them the way that they should go when they're young, they'll do whatever they want to do when they get older, including get involved with their dope-smoking buddies or drinking guys. And now, you guys, now let me stop for a second. We owned a bar, so I'm not painting some halo over my head. But I have seen people who start drinking and smoking as children who continue to drink and smoke all their lives and die in their 40s and 50s. So don't shout me down on this and say, well, you know, Ted, your parents owned it. Well, no, I never owned a bar, guys. Let me make that real clear. All right? Now, my parents got divorced. They had a little stand that sold beer, blah, 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 and ended up turning into this, like, German beer tavern after they got divorced. My mom did all that, tried to supply, you know, and to feed the kids. I got that, didn't agree with it, but that's what they did, or my mom did. So just stay with me for a second. If you go into a situation where you don't train your children up in the way they should go, and you let them do whatever they want to do, you know, they're going to do that the rest of their lives. You got to teach them limits. Well, they've taken that same mentality now, and they're doing to us as adults. And here's the problem. So many people have been so dumbed down because of fluoride and statin drugs and things put into the food supply, and a lowered testosterone, which my buddy Brad pointed out, you've got a group of people now that are just compliant. They're like lab rats. When I took physiological psychology, I had a laboratory, and we had this is at Florida State. And one of the things we did in the lab, we trained a rat. And the rat basically, we wouldn't give him water for 24 hours, and then he'd do all kinds of neat things, like run up and down stairs and turn on light bulbs and do all kinds of neat things for a shot of water, positive reinforcement. Then what we would do is we'd let him have as much water as he wanted after we got done with the experiment, so we weren't going to kill the rat. And then we'd turn around and not have him have water for 24 hours, and we'd train him the next day again. And what would happen is the rat would just do anything. This is that Pavlovian Skinner psychology that was pushed by Freud and all the other weirdos through Leipzig into the United States, you know, a little over 100 years ago, because they wanted to reprogram the population of our country. You're a good little boy. You maintained your social distancing. Here's a cookie. Cookie. I don't want a cookie. I'm giving you a cookie anyhow. We're going to give you a positive 3 points on your credit score. Oh, yeah, that's the cookie. Oh, you didn't do this. You did what you were supposed to. We're giving you 10 more points on the cookie score, so now you can get on a bus. Just 15 more points, and we'll let you get back on an airplane and a train. You're a good little boy. This is what China's done, guys. This is the China credit score brought to them by the Rothschild banking cartel, now being brought to you in the United States by our unbelievably corrupted
officials who we put into power that we voted in, who are compromised, like this governor of the state of Michigan. All of these people are teaching you how to work for cookies or credit score points. And so if you're a good little boy or a good little girl, you're going to get that cookie. Guys, come on, man. We're not lab rats. Can't we see past this? Heck with these weirdos. I don't want your cookie. How about that? No, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I have God-given rights that I'm going to exercise, whether you give me a cookie or not. And see, this is the problem that we run into. And now let me ask you guys a question. When's the last time you heard a preacher tell you that? I'm the one I just told you about the cookies and Pavlov and all the rest of it and how we're being trained. No, it's not okay. It's not okay. Now God works with us. He says, look, here's the deal. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, he goes, I'm giving you these laws. You know, this is for your own benefit. You know, if you do this, if you don't eat the pork, if you don't commit adultery, if you're not a weirdo, all right, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to let you. You're going to be amazed at what you're going to get. You're going to live long, have a great life. You're not going to kill yourself smoking and drinking alcohol and taking dope. You're going to be really healthy, and you're going to live a long, prosperous life. Or if you don't, you can do whatever you want to do. This is your choice. You can choose life or you can choose death. Here's the deal. You do this, you're going to be blessed. You do this, you're going to die young and have all these horrible diseases. So here's the deal. I'm laying it out for you. You choose, he says. He tells you to choose. That's not Pavlovian conditioning. He's saying, here are the positives, here are the negatives. You pick what you want. I hope and pray that you choose life. That's what he says. But he doesn't do some kind of reinforcement thing where he starts zapping them. This is the problem that we have nowadays. See, if God was still doing Old Testament on us, you know, it would make a lot more people listen. In other words, you walk outside in the thunderstorm and you've been cussing and cursing and doing bad things and a lightning bolt hits you. It's probably going to get your attention. And he doesn't do that. And he doesn't do stuff like that. You know, he wants us to walk in love and love him as Jesus walked and loved us. He wants us to come to him by our own free will, not because he zapped you with a lightning bolt. This is the difference that we have to see. The government now is trying to zap us with lightning bolts and say, you don't know what you want. Negative credit score. Zap, zap. What are they going to hook us up to? A dog shock collar? Is that where we're going next? When we walk outside of our limits in the yard, we're going to get zapped on the shock collar? Is that where we're going? Think about what I'm saying, guys. This is not of God. God doesn't do this. This is Luciferian. Satan uses shock collars, not God. God loves you and wants you to be part of his kingdom because you want to be, not because you're forced to be. Austin, what do you think?
That's really well said, and that's exactly what the social credit score system is all designed to do. That's why they put this whole program together in China and beta tested it for the last, what, 3-4 years now over there. And that's exactly where they're getting this out now. Why Dad was talking, I was still continually going through this CDC phases about telling us what we can do and how we can rebound and if that satisfies the gating criteria for the first, second, and third time. And it's interesting that every single phase, even the last phase, it uses the term and constantly references to social distancing, strict social distancing protocols. And the more I've been thinking about it, and Dad brought it up yesterday, why is it a constant thing that they're so concerned about this? People go, oh, well, it's common sense. You stay far away. Guys, what came up with 6 feet? That's why I told you guys that weeks ago. I said, who came up with 6 feet? Why the number six? Why not five? Why not seven? Why not 10? Why not 2.5? You know what I mean? What came up with six? Is six the magic number that the virus can't go that far out of, you know, your vapor trail that you breathe or cough? No, that's a complete and total lie. It's total variables based on windage, how hard you projectile, how hard you cough, all kinds of things factor in that. 6 feet's no magic number. But then Dad brought up to me yesterday, and this is what they've been starting to do some research on now, when people have been looking at 5G and the phones and everything, exactly what he said. Any closer than 6 feet, it's very hard to pinpoint exact locations. Basically, the fields from the phones get crossed over. So you start having a blurb when they're caught, when they're basically tracing you, when they're tracking you. The circle starts to become one. So you start to have two or three people that are standing, you know, shoulder to shoulder talking to one another. You can't pinpoint where's who or who's what. There's just a big blurb. Then you really want to get it crazy. Look, that's it. Unplug a microwave and throw them in there. Then the signal goes away, completely disappears. Gone. Oh, man, we learned that from Snowden. No, they definitely don't want you doing that. So they are doing and ask why. I've always been like that. I've always known, even when I was a kid. Well, what does that mean? Why is that? What do we do with this? What is this? Why? Obviously, it gets annoying as an adult. I get that now as a parent because my son does that to me all the time. But I get it, though, why I was like that. It's the same way I'm like that now. Everybody has to start asking why. Do you know what's in your vaccine? Question mark. Simple question. Answer, quite complicated because most people don't even know what's in their vaccine, including aborted fetal tissue. And that's what they're continuing to promote. Notice, Planned Parenthood hasn't stopped. Thousands of abortions continually happen. I think it's on average, I think it's like 1,500 abortions a day nationally from Planned Parenthood. Those haven't slowed down at all. Why? Well, because they need their aborted fetal tissue. They need their
that's exactly
killings.
Right.
They got to keep them going. They got to keep this stuff going as much as they physically can, Dad.
You're absolutely right, Austin. In fact, my attorney, who's listening to the show right now, just said, his name's John, by the way, great attorney, maybe our cell phones will become our shock collars or our ankle bracelet monitors. If you go to the wrong place, it goes off on your pocket. It may even shock you. I don't think it's going to shock you, but it could buzz on you. Oh, my gosh, the cell phone buzzed. I stepped across the line. Oh, no. Oh, come on, guys. We're not going there. Not us. Not this show. Not ever. Hey. Remember, vitamin C, D3, potassium, iodide, zinc, very, very important. Guys, thank you for your support. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. This is the only show that I know like it that doesn't have any commercials. So I love you guys, and I appreciate you. Got to pray for you again this morning. Austin, go ahead and close it up, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely, guys. And thank you again for the continued support of Health Masters. Be sure to get this information out there. Forward it, spread it, talk about it. Get the news, get the truth out there so more and more people will talk about it. If you need anything, please check out the website, healthmasters.com. The product of the week, the ultimate multiple capsules on sale till this Wednesday for 10% off. Great product, great staple. Be sure to check it out. If you need anything, healthmasters.com. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.